relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back, dear friends. If you enjoy America First, especially our one-on-ones, our new third hours, today it's going to be Sean Spicer, Spicy, in studio for a whole hour. Support those who make it possible, especially Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. More than 51 million sold. President Trump loves them. My whole team uses them because they're that good. Get up to 66% off if you use my name, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Now it's time for some
Whammo Blammo.
Yes, indeed. She's with us right now. Jennifer Horn, welcome back to America First.
Whammo Blammo, Seb.
Whammo of the Blammo. How are we doing on this fine? What day is it today? Wednesday? Wednesday. How are we doing on this fine Wednesday? It's Whammo.
It's Whammo Blammo
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
how are we doing?
Well, you know what? Things are a little tough here in L.A. I am fully on strike. I just started my strike about an hour and a half ago.
What?
Well, the city of Los Angeles has now voted to make sure that people without vaccine status, you won't be able to go indoors anywhere, basically, without showing your
vaccine status.
Without
your papers.
That means restaurants, gyms, movie theaters, nail salons. And you know how I like to get my nails done?
You're wrong. You just have to go to the French Laundry.
Exactly. Now, the French Laundry, easy peasy.
Yeah.
But this is a very significant change for L.A. City. Not to be confused with L.A. County, Orange County, the rest of the state. Some of them are still experiencing little bits of freedom. But L.A. City, and that's where I live, in the city of Los Angeles, says no more. If you don't prove your vaccine status, you can't go anywhere. And I got to tell you, this has nothing to do with the vaccine. We could argue all day long about whether it's right or wrong. Vaccinated, unvaccinated. If you don't stand up for freedom right now, you might as well say goodbye for it. So I am not going to any place starting immediately that requires me to show them a vaccine card.
This is the point. It's a matter of principle, because if it's this,
it really is.
Right, then if this, the camel gets its nose under the tent, then next it'll be, well, you better show me your DNC registration card. I mean, there is no limit. If you are demanding papers that are mandated by the government, then okay. So
right.
So the flip question is, is everybody who is a business owner going to comply? That's my question.
This is still really new. I would imagine no, but because there was pushback during the pandemic. I mean, keep in mind that in Los Angeles and California, all throughout the state, we were closed down for about a year and a half because of Gavin Newsom. And so businesses are just starting to get back into gear again. And do you really want the $15 an hour worker at Chick-fil-A now in charge of your medical health? Do you want to have these conversations? They are setting up a couple of different things. First of all, it's extremely racist because only 30% of people of color, of Black Americans or Black Californians, have the vaccine. So they are going to start segregating people, having the people who are probably white elitists with the vaccine inside the restaurants, and Blacks will be sitting outside the restaurants. So they've got segregation going. They've got a problem with the businesses. They are now going to make them in charge of creating these conflicts with people who are fired up about this. It's going to cause problems. And so now you're affecting not only the economy and the racial makeup of the state, But Seb, I mean, I don't know what comes next. I mean, what is next on the slippery slope? Already Gavin Newsom this week said that kids over the age of 12 will not be able to go to public or private school if they don't have the vaccine. And we have the lowest case rate in the country right now. Our case rate is going down. So this is not about following the science. This is about compliance. And that's why we have to make this less about the vaccine and more about freedom.
I just asked this of Senator Ron Johnson, who literally opened the second hour, and I said, because he's fighting the mandates nationally.
Sure.
And I'm asking him, have you worked out why they're doing this? Because I don't want to give into the conspiracy theories of, you know, it's because Pfizer and Merck want, you know, the billions and whatever. And he said, this is the $64,000 question. I don't know. Is it the money, or is it just they want you to comply because it's easier to control you? Where do you sit on all this? Well, Gavin Newsom, is he just a risk-averse pretty boy, or is it darker than that?
Well, okay, so my conspiracy theorist hat goes on when I think about this in California and in Los Angeles. First of all, L.A. is run by Mayor Garcetti, who is waiting confirmation to become the next ambassador from the Biden administration to India.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom took a hand from Biden, who came here and campaigned for him. As California goes, so does the rest of the country. And so I think that Gavin Newsom, and he even said that the reason he is rolling out these mandates for school children is because he thinks it will be a good example for the rest of the country. So I think what they're looking to do is have California be the leader so that other, particularly blue states, will follow suit and continue to strip away people's freedom. So I think it's a payback to the Biden administration. To answer your question about what I think is at the heart of this, I really don't know. And I cannot tell you, I've never been more fired up about another issue
I can tell.
In my life.
I can tell, Jen.
I'm fully, fully committed to do what we can do to fight back, because it's not good for anybody and it's not about the science. I don't want to see people get sick. I believe that COVID is real. I don't think that the government is inserting magnets in our body. I don't feel like I'm a whack job.
You've had COVID.
I've had COVID. I've survived. You've had COVID.
Right.
You've survived. And the reason that this feels like such a push is because the government is not considering natural immunity, even though every expert that is telling the truth says that there is something to natural immunity, and they're not even considering it. Either you have the mark and you have the vaccine card, or you don't. And they're dividing us. This is real-time segregation. It's the first time I've felt it in my life, and we have to do something
about it. What happens next? I mean, God bless you for taking a stand, for being open about it. Are you going to organize other people who want to stand by their rights and exercise them? Is LA City going to see some groundswell? Is there going to be some kind of Tea Party analog? What next, Jen?
You know, I think we have to find out. It's really early. The vote just passed 11-2. It passed today. So this is brand new for LA City. I think we have to see who's going to come out swinging. What I think is unfortunate is that the government's not going to suffer. The government's not going to feel this. The businesses are going to feel this, because people like me, I refuse to go to a place that's going to ask me for vaccine status. Whether I get the vaccine or not, it's still part of my conversation with myself and my doctor. That should be all of our choices, to figure out if we're going to get it,
you know,
if we need to get it. But it shouldn't be forced on us.
Here's an idea, because I think courage is sadly often found not by itself necessarily organically. It has to be demonstrated by others. And I think people should just, you know, organize, you know, in little pods. There should be, you know, a couple people go to store after store, and they walk in, and when they're challenged and they say, where are your vaccine papers? We say, I'm an American, and that's un-American, and you walk out. I want a message.
I think so too.
I want a message to be sent, but I want it to be systematic. I want it to be widespread. I want it to be organized. Mm-hmm. So the shop owners, I'm not talking about intimidation. I'm talking about showing the shop owners that we are the majority, and if they want to stand up for the Constitution, they are on the right side, and they need to make a stand. She is the host.
Stand with us.
Stand with Americans that believe in America and its freedoms. Host of The Morning Answer, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Stay with us, friends.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I'm impressed. It may be Jeff Bezos, Dr. Evil's little vanity project of his very dodgily shaped space rocket, but the fact that next week, James Tiberius Kirk will finally be going into space at the age of 90. Are you impressed, Jen? Bill Shatner's doing it.
Yes, I am impressed. And, you know, the word had come out a few weeks ago that he might be thinking about it. And so, you know, my dad is great friends with William Shatner, and we got to hang out with them together. And what was really interesting is he was supposed to be doing just a little intel. I think we can gossip a little, can't we?
Oh, yes. Nobody's listening.
Nobody say anything. Nobody call TMZ. But I guess he was thinking about doing a television, or he had a television project to do, and he got asked, and he didn't know if it was going to be in conflict or not. But he said, you know what? I'm never going to have another opportunity to do this, to see space. And at 90 years old, he is going. And God love him. He is a guy, Seb, that does not want to slow down. He wants to keep doing stuff that challenges him. And well, I'm excited for him.
When you took me to see him and he rode into that charity event for handicapped children on that horse into that arena, man, I
so cool.
It was like 88. And I said, so, how old? No, I didn't believe it for a second. Follow this lady. She is our West Coast Warrior Princess, at Jennifer Horn on Twitter, host of The Morning Answer, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer, also crntalk.com. Okay, I need a sanity check. I need, what do the kids say? I need to be based. Is that right? Based.
Oh.
Okay. So I
that's in, what they say. I don't know.
That's what they say. I went to an event at the invitation of a good guy.
Okay.
With the Republican nominee for the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. This morning.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm just going to go there, listen, and I'm going to make my decision because I don't want a rhino. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he gave a great speech.
We're a little worried about Youngkin, right? We're a little worried.
Well, there are issues. There are issues. Yeah. Mark Levin has, you know, come out swinging. President Trump said, you're not going to win without embracing the MAGA voters. So I went there and I listened, gave a great speech, and I've invited him on the show. And he's going to make the decision. His campaign chairman said they're going to decide whether he can come on the show tomorrow. And we shall see what we shall see. Mm-hmm. But here's my dilemma for you.
Yes.
Is it wrong of me? They talk about tests of ideological purity. And he might be a good guy, so let's put Glenn to one side. But is it wrong of me to say, I do not want to support any more fake conservatives? You know, this, I keep being told, oh, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Well, hang on a second. Yeah. How many people have we had who facilitated the swamp, who came in as Republicans and then just betrayed us? That's why we got President Trump. So where do you stand on the, you know, I'm not going to vote for somebody because I need somebody who's a non-politician?
So it's really funny that you brought this up, because this morning I was brushing my teeth. I do that like once a week.
Good.
At least once a week. I think we're still allowed to do that in LA. So I was brushing my teeth and I was thinking about this very thing. I was thinking about Liz Cheney, actually.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about, because she's going to be at the Reagan Library. And I thought, oh, the Reagan Library, what does she do? I know. It was a whole thing. And I thought, what do we do? What is the best step forward? Is it worth it to have her reelected rather than a Democrat? Or is it better to have a Democrat reelected or elected into her position? So you're in that same conundrum.
Yeah.
And I would tell you, I cannot stand fake conservatives. I cannot stand people who have not come to the winning MAGA movement, because I believe it, like you do, in my heart and soul, that it's the right path forward for this country. It is the only path forward for this country. But from my PR background, and you know, messaging and communication, it's kind of big for me.
Yeah.
It is better for President Trump moving forward. It is better for the MAGA movement if Youngkin beats out Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe is a Democrat swamp dweller. And the press that will come from him losing will be incredibly bad for Joe Biden.
Interesting.
And if you want to chip away at the people who are in control, I don't know anything. I wouldn't endorse Youngkin. I don't know him. It's your state. I haven't really gotten into it. But I think from a messaging standpoint, even though he hasn't fully embraced that movement and he is on the line, on the fence, and I can't stand people who won't commit to something. But from the messaging standpoint, it is much more effective for him to beat up.
That's an interesting piece of analysis, and I will only respond thusly. I agree with you. It would be that would be a massive upset. You know, Hillary's bag man, you know, the fundraiser for the Clintons is defeated after he's been a governor once before. But I'll just add this. That frisson, that enjoyable moment is very transitory.
It is. But here's the thing. We have to win, right?
Yeah, but we also have to ask the question, at what cost? I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is Jennifer Horn. She's going to organize those people to stop the health segregation, the apartheid in California. God bless her. Follow her at Jennifer Horn. This is America First.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
And not just Sebastian Gorka, one of our most reliable warrior princesses in studio, former attorney to President Trump. She is the chair of the National Election Integrity Alliance. You know her as Jenna Ellis, ESQ. Follow her, Jenna Ellis Esquire, on Twitter and everywhere else. Jenna, thanks for coming in studio.
Great to see you. It's been a couple weeks since I've been in studio, so always good to see you.
I can't keep track of it. Have we discussed our America First gear, our merch?
We have not.
Ooh, that's not good. Eric, get the visuals up on the screen for our Rumble buddies so they can see. So we have these. You can turn around. You know, we have these were made when the president came on. If you're woke, you're a loser. That's our number one seller. If you're woke, you're a loser.
I need one of those, obviously.
Show everything. The panoply of gears. Show Jenna everything. The MAGA gal mugs.
Nice. Which I am a MAGA gal,
there
of
you
course.
Go.
Obviously.
What else have we got? What else have we got? We've got the My Body, My Choice. No vaccination mandates.
Nice.
What else? Oh, and our Stay Frosty.
Stay Frosty.
Tumblers. So what can we get? Can we get you one of the presidential t-shirts and a mug?
Absolutely. And a mug. Absolutely. I want the Stay Frosty one, though. All because when I have been guest hosting for you, I was apparently the first one to remember.
Did
to
you
say
use
that
the
I
phrase?
Did. I ended the show how you always
I'm
do.
I'm impressed.
Aren't
okay,
you?
In that
I
case,
pay attention.
Let's do the trifecta, Eric. Let's get Jenna the tumbler, the MAGA gal mug, and the presidential t-shirt. Don't be a loser. Don't be woke. If you want yours, go to sebgorkastore.com. That's sebgorkastore.com. So much to discuss.
Presents. Awesome.
Well, it's, you know, you said it was Festivus, right?
In I did. Break. That's
okay.
True.
We're having
we're airing a lot of
pre-Christmas celebration. So much to discuss. Let's start with Supreme Court news. They're not going to hear a certain case. What is that case, and is it a big deal?
Yeah, well, it's a big deal only if you actually care about following the rule of law and the Constitution, which we all should care about.
Right.
And this is a good thing that the Supreme Court is still just saying, sorry, Democrats, no, you can't tear up the Constitution. Sorry, you can't just try to force D.C. into statehood by judicial fiat. So the Constitution actually in both Article 1 and Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution prescribes that it's actually Congress that can create states. You have to go through Congress, not the judiciary. But also this whole thing about challenging for D.C. statehood on the equal protection basis. What people fail to realize, the Democrats in particular fail to realize, is that the district was created so that we don't have one state that has so much more power
right.
over Congress. So you actually have, you who live in D.C. and can vote in D.C., actually have representation of the entire U.S. House of Representatives, not just a couple. So this whole equal protection argument, I think, is ridiculous. So the Supreme Court just by very quickly kind of summarily said nope. And Gorsuch and Thomas actually said we would even say that we can't hear this as a non-justiciable question. So they just said we don't even have jurisdiction over this.
Meaning because it is the Congress. It's the
legislative branch.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating. In practice, I have to ask because you're the constitutional law expert. Because this is one of the powers. I mean, the exciting thing is when a case gets to the Supreme Court to be heard. But the other thing is, of course, when they say sorry, not hearing it. When that happens, What is the half-life of that decision? How long does it, you know, 10 years from now, 10 months from now, can somebody say, well, we're back? Or when the Supreme Court says no, when can this issue return? Or is it like forever just in the dustbin?
Well, you know, if you're Gavin Newsom and you've been smacked down by the Supreme Court five times in less than a year, you know, I mean, sometimes Democrats are still stupid enough to continue to challenge things.
So there's no rule where people say, well, you got to wait 5 years to be polite.
No, no. And of course, you know, the Supreme Court, as Amy Coney Barrett very wisely said in her confirmation hearings, they don't enterprise their own cases. It's not like you as a justice go out and you look for what you want to rule on. They have to wait until people appeal things to them. Right. Then they can decide if they want to hear it. And so sometimes they'll say, no, we're not going to hear a particular case because they don't like the fact pattern, or they think that it's not really a great case to take up. But then they'll take one on the same issue, just a different fact from a different state or something, because they want to comment on that particular case. So but the practical reality of the Supreme Court is they get, you know, so many different appeals, and they can choose. And so only about 1% of cases annually that are appealed are heard, and they can decide whether or not to hear them.
All right, let's talk about the other big news. Wendy Rogers, Arizona senator.
Our good friend.
State senator with, I think, how many other? 90 other politicians demanded decertification. And talk to us about this idea of decertification vice reinstatement. We said reinstatement, not a goer. What is the significance of this phrase, and how realistic is it?
Well, it's realistic as long as Republicans have the political backbone and the political will to actually do something about it. So while reinstatement was a political theory that was kind of, in my view, outside the margins of the U.S. Constitution, decertification is important because it is a legislative recognition through the actual constitutionally appointed entity to recognize and say for the record the certifications that happened in the swing states, including Arizona, were false. They were based on information and facts that were that we have said, you know, throughout since November 3rd is not the accurate reflection of what the voters actually indicated.
So what happens then? Say Arizona decides, okay, there's enough abnormalities, tens of thousands of votes that are potentially fraudulent. If they decertify, does that not then require, if there's a requisite number of decertifications, for a re-meeting of the Electoral College?
Well, so that's one thing that can, and in my opinion, should happen. If you get at least three states to decertify and basically Joe Biden falls below the 270
the threshold,
then we are in the constitutional crisis of Congress having to say, hey, listen, we now are in the position that the installed president didn't actually reach the threshold. So what should happen is it should go then to the U.S. House of Representatives like it would have pre-January 6th. They vote by state delegation, and they have the opportunity in Article 1, or Article 2, rather, Section 1.6, Congress can, in this instance, vote by House delegation and call for a new election. That's what should happen. And that's why decertification is the first step to remedying this election.
And the interesting thing is that House delegations are still majority Republican.
And again, if Republicans would just have the political will to say, we're in a constitutional crisis, we have to address this. And I saw President Trump last week, by the way, and we had a great conversation about this.
I had a conversation with
the
people who say,
he's fighting
me
for this
morning that he's called you a few times recently. I have my sources, Jen Ellis. I cannot disclose them. We'll be back with Jen in a second. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Come to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country from their daily pain, me included. Yes, after 9 years, almost a decade of my lower back pain, I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 2.5 years later. But it's not about me. It's about people like Debron from Massachusetts. This is Debron's story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Just those words, my hip pain is gone, should make you call Relief Factor today. 800-500-8384 or go to ReliefFactor.com. Order the 3-week quit starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Complacency is a weakness that patriots cannot afford. For this reason, Carr Firearms is teaming up with America First in 2021. Carr Firearms believe Americans shouldn't be afraid to publicly stand up for their freedoms. This is about more than being a gun enthusiast. This is a very personal issue as we struggle for the soul of our nation. Carr wants America First listeners to know that they are not afraid to publicly support Second Amendment Fridays here in America First. Check out their amazing line of U.S.-made weapons. I carry a 9mm Carr. That's at KAHR.com. Go today, KAHR.com, to pick out your favorite weapon. We are back with Jenna Ellis. Follow her on all platforms. Jenna Ellis, ESQ, former attorney to President Trump. Full disclosure, I am a member of her National Election Integrity Alliance. Jenna, we had Jennifer Horn on about the California mandate. Now you have to show vaccination papers to go into any business in LA City. We had Ron Johnson, Senator Johnson, open the second hour talking about his fight against the mandates. What is your advice as a practicing lawyer, as somebody who understands the Constitution backwards? How do we begin to fight this? Do we have to organize? Because the average person can't bring a lawsuit against vaccination mandates. So what is the smartest way for us to resist?
Well, we have to first stand up and simply resist. I mean, don't have the, well, this is just becoming so cumbersome that fine, I'm going to comply. That's what they want everyone to do. And if you have a valid exemption or you just don't want to take the vaccine for whatever reason, that's between you and your doctor, don't do it. Don't let them pressure you. But there are some great organizations that I'm a part of. I am special counsel with the Thomas More Society. Yes. I'm an allied attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom. They, as national nonprofit organizations, always are challenging religious liberty cases, First Amendment cases. This, in my view, comes under a First Amendment analysis, and it can under many ways. And I think that the Supreme Court is ultimately going to have to hear some of these challenges.
How long is that going to take?
It depends on how quickly it can go up. So the Thomas More Society is actually challenging the vaccine mandate in New York City right now, and that's already working its way through. And I think that probably that may get to the Supreme Court in a matter of weeks, just on a temporary injunction sort of a contest. And so it can go very quickly just in a temporary nature, but I think that the court is going to ultimately have to deal with this question. And everyone from the Democrat side saying that the Jacobson case, Jacobson versus Massachusetts in, I think it was like 1905, that contemplated a vaccine mandate for smallpox from the state. That was a state level mandate. It was not federal. Totally different. And that case specifically did not contemplate whether the vaccine mandate itself was constitutionally permissible, but rather only the penalty. And it was a very nominal $5 fine that a pastor had to take. So there's no precedent on this whatsoever.
Okay, so you heard her. Thomas More Society, thomasmoresociety.org, Alliance Defending Freedom. That's Alliance.
Reach out to them.
AllianceADFLegal.org. We've got to resist. We've got to get it all the way to the Supreme Court. You've been listening to Sebastian Gorka and Jenna Ellis. Next in studio, for an hour, Sean Spicer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.